Amen. Thank you, Carol, and thank you, Carrie, as well, both helping out. Debbie was not feeling well this morning, and they volunteered to help out, and what a blessing. That's a great song, isn't it? What a wonderful truth that we are a child of the King. And I hope when people sing, I hope you think about the words and you just kind of let it settle. A child of the King. You know, Satan, he's going to do everything he can to mess with us. But I'm a child of the King. You know, he wants you to feel like a pauper. Satan wants you to feel like you're worthless. Well, you know, we are, as far as we fail so many times, but I'm a child of the King. And my salvation's not based on me. It's based on what he did. And praise the Lord for that. And a child of the King. I love that. That's a beautiful song. Well, I want to talk to you about vision, this morning and then also tonight, part one and part two again, just talking about vision. The Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. And so we need to have a vision. Joseph was a person who had a vision. I don't know of anyone any more qualified to teach us about vision than Joseph. And so I want to start there and then this morning, and then we'll talk about some other things tonight. But think about your vision today. And I'm not talking about your eyes. Obviously, I have glaucoma. My vision has, you know, it just kind of goes, gets better and worse and better and worse and has all my life. And I remember back before contacts, you know, I wonder what I'm going to do when I'm old. And I remember seeing people with big old thick glasses. When I was in first and second, third grade, early elementary school, my glasses were already Coke bottle bottoms. I mean, seriously, people used to make fun and laugh, and they started modernizing glasses and got them thinner and thinner. And then next thing came out, I couldn't believe it. Contacts came out, and it was like a shock when contacts came out, and I was so excited to be able to get contacts, and I had probably the first kind of contacts. How many of you remember plastic contacts? I mean, they were plastic contacts, not gas permeable, not comfortable, just putting a chunk of plastic on your eye, you know, and I'd put them on, and you blink, and they'd go down in your eye, you know, and because they were so thick, but I remember that, and then the gas permeable contacts came out, and then I remember Brenda's dad telling us one time, he said, you know, I heard about him sewing contacts on an eye. I said, wow, that is. He said, you know what? He said, I'd pay for that if it'd help you. I'd pay for you to have your, well, I'm thinking of a sewing machine in my eye. And somehow that didn't go well at all in the thinking. But wait a minute, the truth is, when I had cataracts, same principle, same idea, they cut a little slit and slipped that lens down. A new lens with correction, and you know, it's just been an amazing thing. But that's not the kind of vision. Although I wish our vision for godly things would be kind of like that, where we could just get better and better. Or sad to say, in many cases, it does get worse and worse. But I want to talk to you about vision. Father, thank you for the Word of God. And without it, we would have no vision at all. We'd have no idea what to think. We'd have no idea what to. As Joseph, we would have no idea what to dream. And thank you that we can walk with you, and that will shape our vision. It will help us to have a godly kind of a vision, something that would be a blessing, something that would be right. And so please help us now with this subject today, this morning and tonight, and speak to our hearts. And I pray, God, that you'll give us a vision. You said without it, we'd perish. I think homes would perish. I think Christian testimonies would perish. So many things fall apart where there's no vision. So please, guide us and direct us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Part of growing up, obviously, is to have a vision of the future. And it's amazing when you're young, the things that you think of, the things that you dream about. As Joseph, his dream, obviously, was an amazing dream, and it was totally accurate. It was perfect. It was exactly the will of God for his life. And And, you know, it's a blessing when our children, they grow up in church and they're in the nursery and then they're in the primary and then they're in the junior church and then they're in the teen department. And as they grow up, that vision is more focused on doing something for God. It's more focused on having a godly home. It's more focused on wherever they work, whatever their vocation, it is a godly vocation. Amen. Their life is a godly life. It's a life that is not free from the things of God. No, it is enhanced and it is made perfect by the things of God. And what a blessing. I remember, you know, my vision when I was young and I talked about, you know, the glasses. I remember I was thinking about this recently. You know, I remember being frustrated. I as a teenager, I had bangs. Remember bangs? And that was cool. Now, I had, you know, I was a hippie and had bangs, and then it all went long and flowing down my shoulders. But I had bangs, and I remember thinking, you know, as I looked around, adults didn't have bangs. And I kept thinking in my mind, what am I going to do when I'm older? And I remember when I decided to comb my hair and part my hair. And I tried to decide which would be better, to comb it over. Did anybody else do that? You know, fellas, did you do? Tim did, too. See? What a foolish waste of time that was for us. But I remember parting it this way and looking at it, and then I'd part it that way and look at it, and I tried to decide, I wonder what it's going to be when I get older. And God pretty much took care of the part. It departed. And it's a huge part now. But you think about all that, and you wonder about these kinds of things. I used to think about the future, and I remember my parents, and they divorced when I was about 12 years old, but I remember them fighting. I remember they I put all this together that whenever they drank, they fought. When they didn't drink liquor, they didn't fight. And it was amazing as a child. I remember thinking, you know, they would do so well during the week, and Dad would go to work, and then he'd come home, and he'd work out in the yard, and he didn't really have time to get a beer. But boy, the weekend, you know, Saturday would come, and I mean, from the beginning of the day, it's kind of like I knew there's going to be a fight tonight because they'd start drinking early. And sure enough, they'd start drinking, they'd fight. I remember telling them as a child, I'd say, why do you drink liquor? Why would you do that? And I was an unsaved kid. I didn't grow up in church. I just put it all together. But I remember thinking, I wonder what it'd be like to have a happy home. Wonder what it would be like. I remember some Friday nights. They'd go out and go drinking, you know, on a Friday night, go to different clubs and different things. And I always knew that by 2 o'clock in the morning, I'd be awakened by them fighting. I'd hear screaming and hollering and all kinds of terrible things being said. And I used to think, wonder what it'd be like to have a happy home. I would dream about what it was going to be like when I'm old and having a happy marriage. I got news for you. I could not have planned it better than to have the wife that I have and the happy home that we've had all these years. Joseph, he had a vision. Joseph, the Bible said he dreamed a dream. And his dream, and we'll talk about this in a few minutes, it wasn't necessarily popular, but the Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. If you are not, somebody says, oh, you're just a dreamer. But God says you need to. God says he wants us to have a vision. Now, not just any vision. I know everybody, you know, what's it called? The Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes. Oh, you know, or maybe you filled out the bracket. You know, the bracket for $1 billion. I think the guy was going to give away $1 billion. If anybody in the NCAA tournament, if their bracket was perfect. And I think after the second day, there were no perfect brackets. I mean, it's just how it is. And you, boy, if I had $1 billion, I got to be honest. There's been times I've sat around and I thought, boy, if I had a lot of money, here's what I would do. And seriously, most of the time, it is not a selfish thing. It's maybe trying to help somebody or do this, or definitely always it has to do with the Lord's work. And we have done that. But Joseph didn't, you know, Joseph wasn't looking to be a big shot. Joseph wasn't looking to do some great thing. Joseph, I believe Joseph was simply, he was just walking with God. And folks, honestly, the kind of vision that is possible to take place in our lives is going to be the vision that is achieved because you've spent time with God. It's going to be the vision that takes place because we have actually walked with God daily. And I believe that is exactly how Joseph's dream, because Joseph's dream came true. His vision was true. He saw, and we read it just a little while ago, he saw that God was going to raise him up. He saw that God was going to raise him up above his brothers, and even he was going to raise him up above his parents. And he saw that God's hand was going to be on him, and God was going to bless him in such a way that it was going to be greater than any of his family. And he saw that, and God showed that to him. And again, he didn't lord that over anybody. God just gave him that vision. And so let me give you some points and just some things about a vision. And I think it's a little different than maybe you've ever thought of before. Number one is the agreement. The agreement. And I think that is so important. The Bible says, and I use this verse all the time because I try to apply it to my own life. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And to me, that verse has always meant that if I'm walking with God, I need to agree with God. You say, preacher, why do you want us and why do you emphasize so many times for us to walk with God? Because there is nothing that will change your life more than you walking with God. There is nothing that has changed my life more than just simply me walking with God. As I walk with Him, as I talk with Him, as I read His Word, as I pray, as I listen to preaching, which is His Word, I find that, boy, there's some things we don't agree on, God. You ever tell God, God, I didn't think about that before. And you know what? You find something out, you're wrong. Somebody say amen. Oh. Wow, Brother Stewart, did you ruin my Sunday school class?
Yes, I did.
I just can't believe it. Now, I know it's kind of warm in here because it started out cold outside and the sun is beating down on the building. Isn't that a blessing? But it's okay. We're all going to sweat just a little bit. It's all right. But hey, listen. Seriously, you know, you walk with God, if you keep walking with Him, you're going to agree with Him. You are going to start finding out that His Word is true. You're going to find out. Now, I know it's true whether you find it out or not. And I know it's always been true whether I found it out or not. And I know it was always true whether I agreed or not. But the agreement, walking with God, I believe, is exactly why Joseph's vision was what it was and why it came true. Because he was walking with God. And when you walk with God, you agree with God. Therefore, you're not going to think about, okay, so maybe you think about, winning the publisher's clearinghouse, or maybe you think about winning the bracket buster $1 billion or whatever. Okay, maybe you do, but ultimately and in reality, you're thinking about, God, I just want to please You. Because you're walking with Him. And as you walk with God, you grow. Look at Psalm 37, verse 3. Psalm 37 and verse 3. And I'm going to go back to this again later on. But what a great passage in this, Psalm 37. I'm not sure I've ever preached on all of Psalm 37 before, but I kept finding myself going back to this. Start at verse 3, Psalm 37, 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. There again, there's walking with God. I got to trust Him. I'm going to trust Him, but I'm going to do good. I'm going to do right. I'm going to try to please Him. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Oh, and we like to be fed. Amen. No, we do love to be fed. But I think that means not only fed physically, but I think it means fed spiritually too. So I'm going to trust Him, and I'm going to do right. Amen. And that's my dwell. That's how I dwell. That's my day-to-day living right there. So shalt thou dwell in the land. That's every day, day-to-day. Walk with God, talk with Him, trust God, all of that. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight thyself. That means rejoice. That means be delighted. That means I'm excited to see You, God. That means, you know, God, you're wonderful, and you talk to Him, and you're excited about God. Some of you ought to tell your face to be excited. I know it's Sunday morning. I know. It's tough. You know, Saturday was so hard. I'm sure you slept in. Then you watch cartoons. cartoons aren't fun anymore. Nope. Not like Bugs Bunny and Roadrunner, you know, back in the old days. But it's okay, you know. Smile and rejoice. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Instead of, you know, your Bible reading being drudgery, it's exciting. Instead of your prayer time being, oh, boy, I got to do this, it's exciting. It's exciting. Delight thyself. That's what happens when you walk with the Lord day in, day out. And look what it says in verse 4. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. What's that mean? He's going to put them in your heart. Where did Joseph get his vision? Where did he get the dream that he dreamed? God put it there. Why? Because Joseph was walking with God. Because he had a relationship with God. Because he agreed with God. Hey, does God trust you enough to put some desires there that are huge, that are big, that are great? Does God trust you enough with that responsibility? The only way he would know is to spend time with you and walk with you. I remember standing at the old campus church down in Pensacola, Florida. God had called me to preach. I went down to Bible college down there, and the old campus church on St. John Street, it wasn't anywhere near as big as the auditorium now, not even close. But the old campus church, I think it sat about 600, a little bit bigger than our auditorium upstairs. And I remember standing behind the pulpit when no one was there, because I worked maintenance and I had a key, and I'd just go stand and I'd just look. And I'd just stare. And I'd talk to God. And I'd say, God, will you ever even let me preach to 10 people, 20 people, 30 people? Will you ever let me have people to preach to? And it was just talking to God. And the Bible says, you know, why did I care? Why did it matter? Why was it there? Because I was walking with God that loves people. And he wants to have a man of God that will love people and love his people and love the Word of God and love for those people to get to know God too. Yeah. Yeah, boy. You know, Joseph had the right desires because he walked with God. And the Bible goes on in Psalm 37, and it says, he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And then it says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he, watch it, he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring it. Not you and I. I mean, we can finagle all kinds of things, but he, God, he'll bring it to pass. He makes it happen. Wow. You have to understand, when you think about old Joseph there, he didn't just come up with that on his own. He came up with that because he walked with God, and he talked with God, and he spoke to God, and he read his Bible, and he prayed, and he was faithful in his worship to God. He had the right goals, he had the right plans, and he had the right future in mind, and God put all that together. Now look, you know, you say, well, I want my marriage to turn out right. Maybe you're a young couple. And, you know, I want my job to turn out right. And I want God's call to turn out right in my life. And I want all those things. Then walk with God. Then agree. Get in agreement with God and God's plan and God's will. And you will have a vision of things that it will blow your mind. Can you imagine Joseph as he's dreaming these dreams? Can you imagine that he thought, how could this be possible? How could it ever take place? He had no idea what God was going to do. And my friend, you don't either. But you just walk with God and trust him. Trust him. Number one, the agreement. By the way, I was thinking about this. My wife and I, we kind of got away last week and did a bunch of just, I told somebody, we just had a lot of, how many of you are familiar with the term albatross? You know what an albatross is? It's a bird. And usually when you talk about an albatross, it's just something you got to do. When we just had several little things we had to do, and they were nagging at me, and I had to do them. It wasn't my wife; she never nags. But just things we had to do, and so we got away, and we were in Indiana, and Brother Combest at Faith Baptist found out, and he had me preach on Thursday night, and again, it just amazed me totally amazed me to go back in my mind on things that God had put in my heart as I walked with him, as I talked with him, as I read his word, the things God puts in our heart. I was thinking about Jim Noble when we were in Flint, Michigan, and I was pastoring at Landmark Baptist Church there. And Jim Noble took his bus kids. He put them, loaded them up on a bus, and he took them out in the country. And these bus kids were from downtown Flint. They were in a terrible, terrible part of Flint. It was a dangerous area. And he took these kids and he drove them into the country one day. And it was one of the greatest things he could do. And he drove them into a neighborhood and he showed them houses with little picket fences around them and showed them farms and showed them. And those kids just sat and they looked out the window and they said, "Wow. You know, we've never seen so much green grass. We've never seen crops growing." And I remember he stopped the bus sometimes and he said, "You know, if you just do what God wants you to do, you can have these kind of things if it's God's will. You can have one of these houses with a garage. You can have a piece of property that has a yard." Oh, most of them, they had no idea what that was. But what was he doing? He was trying to challenge them to get a vision. To get a vision. If I could just get you to understand today that it all starts with agreeing with God. That's where it all starts. A vision. The agreement. Number two, the adversaries. Oh, look out. Never fails. One of the things that you immediately notice with Joseph's vision is his brothers. Boy, they did not like it. Look at verse 8. His brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us?" What are they saying? "We don't like your vision. We don't like what you're saying. We don't agree. Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" The Bible says they hated him. They hated him. Verse 11, it says, his brethren envied him. Oh, understand, if somebody hates your vision, they probably hate you. If they're not happy with your vision, they're probably not happy with you. You know, a parent will listen to their child, and the child will talk about, "You know, one of these days I'm going to be a doctor. One of these days I'm going to be a lawyer. One of these days I'm going to be a preacher." And a parent will just sit there and say, "Oh, that's wonderful. That's so cute. That's so nice." You know, "I'm going to be in the military, and I'm going to serve my country." And you know, a parent, they're going to love that. Why? Because they love that person. I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be some, they will not like your vision. Not if your vision is brought about because you've been spending time with God. Oh, they're not going to like it. The adversaries are going to fight that thing. And Satan hates your godly vision. Believe me, he doesn't like it. A Sunday school teacher here today who has a vision for their class to grow, Satan's not going to like it. All these years, the Baileys, and even to this day, Shirley saw me out in the parking lot as I was heading over to the Shepherds, and she says, "We had 38, I believe it was, on the bus. 38 on the bus." She's all excited, and Satan hates that. After all these years, still a vision of growth on their bus route. Why? Well, because kids grow up, and there's more kids. There's always going to be more. Amen. And the vision for the Baileys, it's never died because they keep walking with God. And what do you think? You think God's pleased about all those little kids coming? You better believe he is. But I'll tell you one who hates it. Satan hates it. Yeah. Why? Well, he wants those kids to be lost. He doesn't want them to come here and get saved. He doesn't want, perish the thought that one of those kids might come and get saved and never experiment with drugs. Never become an alcoholic. Never get involved in immorality. Oh, yeah, Satan, he hates it. He absolutely hates a bus worker who's got a vision. He hates a pastor who has a vision. He hates a Sunday school teacher who has a vision. Oh, he hates a mom and dad that walk with God and they have a vision for their children. He hates it. He hates a church member that has a vision for their church, for their community, to be the shining light in the county. He hates all that. He hates it when we have a vision of people getting saved and baptized, and he hates it. He hates it. I've had people before, they'll say, so pastor, what's your vision? And I say, you know, my vision is for my people to walk with God. No, really. I said, what do you mean, really? No, I'm talking about buildings. I'm talking about gyms. I'm talking about this. I said, that is my vision. I want everybody to walk with God. That's my vision, because that takes care of everything else. Do you understand? When you walk with God, you tithe. When you walk with God, you give. When you walk with God, you serve. It takes care of everything. The greatest thing, I believe, that God has put on my heart for you, and when I pray for you by name, is help them to walk with you, God. Help them just to know you, to walk with you, to read your word. And that's my vision. You know? But Satan hates that. Satan would love for me to think about buildings more than I think about building lives. Amen? He'd love for you to think more about your house than you think about your heart. But oh, let me tell you something. If you walk with God, you'll have adversaries. They will be against you. And they'll hate your vision. You know, it's a selfish boyfriend that hates a young girl's vision of being pure. Amen. Oh, yeah. He'll say all that he'll have all the words. Oh, I love you. No, you don't. Well, if you love me, no, you have no idea, you know. So a young lady's got a vision of walking down the aisle at her wedding day and being pure, and it's a selfish guy that would not want that to take place. And it works both ways. It goes the other way, too. It's a drug pusher, you know, making money. Like the people in Ephesus were making money off of idolatry that would ever. I mean, they, you know, these people hate it when we want to do right and we get a vision of doing right. It's a drug pusher is not going to be happy when a young person says, you know, I've decided I'm not going to do drugs. I'm not going to smoke marijuana. I'm not going to drink alcohol. Bartenders don't appreciate that. But I'll tell you what, people that really love you do. People that really love you do. You know, it's the welfare crowd that they hate it when somebody has a vision of getting out from under that bondage. Government control. You know, people that are on welfare, people that are getting all this money from the government, do you understand? They're under their thumb. What a blessing to get a vision of, you know, I'm going to work. I'm going to get a job and I'm going to work and I'm going to work hard and I'm going to work as many hours as I can work and I'm going to break the chains of the government and I'm going to be free and I'm going to buy a car. Amen. Yeah, it may not be a brand new car at first. It may be a piece of junk. But you know what? It's nice to be free. Get a vision. But walk with God. And remember, you know, there's going to always be a crowd that hates your dream. There's always going to be a crowd that hates your vision. And it happens all the time. Our young people, you know, there'll be somebody that they'll talk about, you know, I just want to do right. I want to please God. And why would you want to do that? That's no fun. I'm telling you today, it's the most fun. Amen. And you don't have to worry about a hangover. And you don't have to look over your shoulder for the police taking you to, you know, coming to arrest you. Amen. Adversaries, there's always going to be some who are against your vision. In fact, Joseph's brothers, you know the story, they tried to stop him. Verse 20, come now, therefore, let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. They said, we'll stop him. We'll stop his vision. I'll tell you what, we're not going to put up with this stuff. He says he's going to be greater than us. We'll just throw him in a pit. Folks, listen to me. You have to understand, when you're walking with God and God shows you something and God puts something in your heart, my Bible is very, very clear. God will bring it to pass. I don't care what the adversaries do. I don't care how much they fight. I don't care what they say. You go try to build a bus route, there's going to be people criticize. There's going to be people get upset. They're going to slam the door in your face. They're going to get mad. They're going to fight with you. You know that. But God's the one that brings it to pass, no matter what the adversaries. You've got family, and you want your kids to be in church, and you want your children to grow up as serving God and reading the Bible, and you'll have people say, well, you can't force them, and you can't, isn't it amazing how we can't force them to go to church, and we shouldn't force them to do that, and yet all these same people, they force their kids, as a 10-year-old not to drive their car. You know, everybody has rules. Everybody has laws. Everybody has boundaries. Everybody does. It just depends where you put them. And as a Christian, we need to make sure that we do nothing to hinder our young people's vision of doing right. Amen. Amen. Because many are going to try to stop their vision. And it's sad to say, so many times a friend will do that. They'll call themselves friends, and because misery loves company. And somebody can be so excited about doing some great thing for God or doing anything for God. And it's amazing how somebody who calls himself a friend will try to stop that just because they could not achieve it. But it can't, just follow what I'm saying. If you have a vision based on walking with God, he'll bring it to pass. He will bring it to pass. I'm not talking about you just making something up. I'm talking about you're walking with God, you're reading your Bible, you're praying, and God puts something in your heart and your mind, and you believe it. I'm telling you, God says, I'll bring it to pass. Just remember, it started with being right with God, agreement with God. All these decisions and things that happened, have you ever thought about going back? When were you closest to God? That's where you need to be, right there. When you were close. I have people all the time, well, I made this decision, it's typically a teenager. I made that decision when I went to camp. I made that decision when I went to the conference. My so-and-so said I was too emotional. So-and-so probably doesn't really care about you. Because when you were at camp or when you were at conference or when you were in chapel or whenever it was, were you close to God during that time? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was really close. That's probably what you should do. That's probably what God put in your heart. That's probably what God wants to happen in your life. Yes, understand, there's always going to be adversaries. Always going to. But the key is, hey, when I'm right with God, walking with God, God gave me this vision. I'm not talking about the result of pepperoni ice cream. I'm talking about something spiritual that God wants you to do. I'm telling you, in the back of a bus, coaching a basketball team, I was just a kid, just barely wet behind the... I mean, seriously, didn't know much about Christianity, and I can so clearly remember God calling me to preach, but God giving me a vision that I can serve God. I can serve God. And you know what? You can too. The first thing... is the agreement. Second thing, the adversaries. Number three is the adversity. Boy, don't let adversity stop you. Don't let adversity convince you that, well, it must not have been real. It must not have been true. I don't know how many times there's been adversity in my life as a pastor that any kind of those things would have stopped a lot of people. But again, you were right with God, and you walked with God, and you prayed to God, and you agreed with God. And God said to your heart, here's what I want you to do. And you had a vision. But boy, adversity came to Joseph, didn't it? I mean, God showed him, you're going to rise up above your brothers. You're going to rise up above your parents. You're going to be, and he didn't know what all that meant, but it was obvious that God was going to bless him in a great way. And though he had adversity, he kept his vision. I love that. Even with adversity, keep your vision. What do you mean? Doing right. Walking with God. No matter what. Adversity should not change your vision. Oh, we think it does. Oh, I must have been wrong back then. No, you were right. Hey, Joseph, you were right. Wait a minute. Joseph is just thrown in the pit, the Bible says. His brethren, they hated him so much they throw him in a pit. And he could have easily sat down there in the pit. I'm just going to quit. You know, I know the end of the story, and I'll get there in just a minute, but don't quit, Joseph. You would say that, wouldn't you? Hey, Joseph, don't quit. It's not going to end there. It could have. Oh, I wonder how many people it ends there. First valley, it ended. First obstacle, you quit. Oh, it happens with marriages all the time. You know, here's a couple, they had a vision of having a wonderful home and a wonderful life together, and they had a vision for their kids. First trial, first problem, first adversity takes place, and they quit. Well, you know, you get older, you're married for a long time, and you start saying, you know what, I'm so glad we didn't quit. I am so glad we just kept going. We just kept going. And that's exactly what Joseph did. He not only was thrown into the pit, later on, verse 28, the Bible says, then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Now he's sold as a slave. And I guarantee that the thought came to his mind, because Satan would have put it there. Look at you. You're not going to rise above anybody. You're a slave. You can't amount to anything. You're a slave. And all that time, listen to me now, all that time, what's God doing? God has to get Joseph into Egypt. God has to get him where he's going to promote him. Joseph doesn't know that. Joseph doesn't have the book of Genesis. Amen? He doesn't get to read about it. He doesn't know. All he knows is he went from the pit to a slave. But he didn't quit. And he kept his vision. And he kept going. Why? Very simple thing. He just kept walking with God. Oh, there's, you know, he could have easily said what so many do. God, you let me down. You let me down. We were talking with Kathy Dehas the other day, and some of you know Kathy. Kathy is the one who is the wife of the fellow that was my assistant pastor that was killed back in Indiana, killed in the car wreck when he was 30 years old. So how many years has it been, Brent? 22, I think, 23 years that he's been gone. And she was talking to somebody the other day, and this guy had... he was an assistant pastor for a while, and now he's working a secular job. And he, for some reason, he looked at her and he said, you know, he said, things just haven't gone like I thought they would. And she just stared at him. And he looked down, and he apparently had to think a little bit about it. And she's smiling and rejoicing, and he's whining. Things just haven't gone like I thought they would. And she lost her husband when he was 30. Things don't always go like you think they will. But we don't know the end of the story. And if you're walking with God and God gives you the vision, and you're doing right and God gives you the vision, and you keep doing all that, then isn't there something in there that says trust him? Trust him. Oh, Satan will say many, oh, it isn't going to happen. You're in a pit. Oh, it's not going to happen. You're a slave. Oh, there's no way it's going to happen. And by the way, with Joseph, it just got worse. It just got worse. Yeah, you know the story. He's sold to Potiphar. And Potiphar trusts Joseph. Joseph's a great worker. Why? Because he walks with God. Joseph is trustworthy. Why? Because he loves God. And Potiphar raises Joseph up in his house, and maybe that's when Joseph thought, hey, this is it. Can you imagine, Matt? He's all excited. Hey, wow, I'm in Potiphar's house. You know what? He ain't seen nothing yet. Potiphar's just, that's just the beginning. And just when he thinks everything is going to work out, adversity hits again because Potiphar's wife accuses him of trying to commit immorality with her. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Anybody can accuse. Anybody. And so she accused him of sin that he didn't do. And it could have totally destroyed his vision. Oh my, can you imagine? I mean, here he was righteous. She was the one that was trying to commit immorality. She lied totally. She was the sinful one. Joseph, he just was walking with God. Now you listen to me. You say, oh, they're out to get me at work, or they're out to get me in my family, or they're out to get me here or there, or wherever it may be. Just keep doing right. Keep walking with God. Keep trusting the Lord, and He will bring it to pass. Amen. Don't let adversity stop you. Because guess what? Yeah, he's thrown into prison, and it doesn't look good. And there's a butler and a baker, they're thrown into prison. And they have dreams. And Joseph, he's still walking with God. He's still talking with God. And God helps him with the butler and the baker. But then, later on, Pharaoh had a dream. And Joseph is still walking with God. Can you imagine if he got backslid? Could you imagine if he got away from God? Could you imagine if he said, you know, phooey on this. I don't want to do this anymore. He never, then the highest he would have achieved would have been helping Potiphar in his house. But I'm going to be quick here and finish. You know how the story goes, though. Because when Pharaoh had his dream, Pharaoh said, if somebody can tell me what this means, I'm going to promote him. And not only did Joseph tell him, not only did Joseph explain it to him, Pharaoh said, you are now second in command. And you're gonna be the one I'm going to use to bring this about. He is the second most powerful man in the whole world at that time. Whew. Wow. Wait a minute. You say, boy, if that could happen to me. Well, wait a minute. Just walk with God. Pray. Read your Bible. Do right. Agree with God. Live that life. Let Him show you. And it will happen. Whatever it is, God shows you, it will happen. It is going to happen. Exactly how God said. But when you're in the pit, you can't quit. When you're sold as a slave, you can't quit. When you're accused of wrong, you can't quit. When you go to jail, you can't quit. You got to keep going. You know what? It wasn't luck. It wasn't an accident. Everything was put in his heart years before when he came to agreement with God, and God showed him what could happen if he stayed faithful, and it did happen because he stayed faithful. Imagine yourself, get a vision of yourself doing whatever it is God has for you. Imagine it. See it as you walk with God, and don't let adversity stop you. I close with the last thing, and that's the attitude. The attitude. You see, it started with being right with God. It started with walking with God, agreeing with God. It started with reading your Bible, praying. It started not only with starting right with God, but staying right with God and walking with God. Go back to Psalm 37 again. Just about done. Psalm 37 and verse 3. Staying right with God. Staying in agreement with God. It's not just a one-time thing. It's not just, well, I did this at the conference. It's not just, well, I did this at camp. It's not just, well, I did this during a service. No, it's every day. It's walk with God. It's talk with God. It's God, you showed me this. You showed me that you were going to use me this way, God. I trust you. I believe you. And I'm going to walk with you, and I'm not going to quit. And if I'm in the pit, I'm not going to quit. And if I'm taken to jail, I'm not going to quit. And if I'm accused, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep going because you said that you would do it. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall. he shall bring it to pass. When it's based on right, just do right. And he shall bring it to pass. If right, if we're doing right, and it is right, why wouldn't he? Think about it. Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he bring it to pass? Hey, you're a Sunday school teacher. Oh, I got on my knees before God, and he said he would bless my class, and my class would grow, my bus route would grow. And God said he would help me with my job, and he would help me to be faithful, and I would do what I'm supposed to do, and I'd be a good testimony, and God said he'd do it. And the pit came, and I kept going. And the accusation came, and I kept going. And I was a slave, and I kept going. But God brought it to pass. God made it happen. The attitude stayed right with God. The attitude stayed content no matter what. 1 Timothy 6:6, write it down. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment. I'm just doing right. You know, I don't know how many people are doing right and you gripe and complain about it all the time. I'm doing right and everybody's attacking me. I'm doing right and I go through the problems. I'm doing right and they throw me in a pit. I'm doing right and they make me a slave. I'm doing right and I go to prison. I'm doing right and I get accused. I'm doing right and the guy forgot about me. I'm doing godliness with contentment. Joseph didn't know he was going to be second in charge in the world. He didn't know. But he said, I trust my God. And that's where contentment is. I trust him with it. What is God because you walked with him? You talked with him. What's he put in your heart? What's he shown you? What's he given you a vision for? I don't know how many dreams have been destroyed because an adversary. I don't know how many dreams have been wiped out because of adversity. I don't know how many people's visions have been stopped because something didn't go the way we thought it should. I never, one time, you don't hear anything about Joseph griping and complaining. The vision was too important. And his attitude, well, Genesis 50, verse 20, we end with it. After his father died, his brethren thought Joseph was going to kill him. And you know the story, I can't get into all of it. But as for you, ye thought evil against me. Look what he says. This has been his attitude all along. But God meant it unto good. Wait a minute, Joseph. You mean that pit? That was good? Yeah, God knew what it was. I had to get in the pit because if I wasn't in the pit, I would have been killed, and if I was killed, I wouldn't have been sold as a slave. If I hadn't been sold as a slave, I wouldn't have gone to Egypt. If I hadn't gone to Egypt, I never would have met Potiphar. If I hadn't met Potiphar, I wouldn't have been tempted by Potiphar's wife and accused by Potiphar's wife. And if I hadn't been accused by Potiphar's wife, I wouldn't have gone to prison. If I hadn't gone to prison, I wouldn't have met the butler and the baker. If I hadn't met the butler and the baker, I wouldn't have Pharaoh wouldn't have known I could tell him what his dream was about. And if Pharaoh didn't know I didn't could tell him what his dream was about, I never would have been promoted to second in charge. So he said, you know what? Here's what I've decided after walking with God all my life. I've decided that I don't care what everybody else means it to be. God means it to be good in my life, to accomplish the vision. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Vision. Vision. It all starts with walking with God. Reading your Bible. You say, I really don't see any. I don't have any plans like that. I mean, I'd like to make lots of money. I'd like to, yeah, but walk with God. Spend time with God. Let him put the desires in your heart.